Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The Ukraine is very much in the news almost every day, and we know we cannot believe all we hear and see in the media. One story that the mainstream media will totally ignore is the fact the Ukraine government is reaching out to American pastors for guidance in forming a new government. The media and many American politicians would be aghast. My guest today will give us a behind-the-scenes picture of what is taking place. Sam Rohr is a former businessman, former state legislator, and current president of the American Pastors Network. From 1992 to 2010, he served as a Pennsylvania state representative from Berks County, during which time his outspoken support of constitutional principles hallmarked his public service. While in the legislature, Sam built on his 13 years of business experience to distinguish himself in areas including economics, taxes, budget policies, and education. He served for 14 years on the Appropriations Committee and is ranking chairman of the House Finance Committee. His leadership in state legislature and during his service led to more transparency and accountability in the state legislature. He was frequently referred to as the conscience of the House. Additionally, Sam served for 16 years on the House Education Committee, where he fought for parental rights in education and authored the Education Improvement Tax Credit Scholarship, which has helped more than 200,000 Pennsylvania students attend private and parochial schools and has been held up as the model school choice law in the entire nation. In June 2012, Sam was appointed president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network, and soon thereafter he founded the American Pastors Network. PA Pastors Network has in itself has grown to over 2,400 pastors, and the American Pastors Network is building state chapters across the country. Sam, thanks for being with you, and what do you do in your spare time?
I talk to you, Diane. Oh, okay. It's great to be on your program today.
Wow. I'm glad that you were able to squeeze in this time to be with us, because your impact is not just, I mean, the Lord, you are right where the Lord wants you, because your impact is going beyond Pennsylvania to the American Pastors Network, which you founded, and now internationally. But let's, for a minute, let's just stick with stateside here and give us some information about just what the American Pastors Network is.
Well, I'll be glad to, Diane, for the opportunity. The American Pastors Network kind of picked up off of the model that we started in Pennsylvania and said, you know, the needs of pastors here in Pennsylvania are the same as they are in all of our states. The national challenge that are facing us as citizens of this republic are the same. The need for citizens, for people generally to be hearing more from their pastors and hearing the truth spoken from the pulpit more, is the same on all of their states. And some of our pastors that were around us said, you know what, we need to begin thinking about how that if there's a way to help and create a unified voice for pastors who believe in the authority of Scripture to stand and be able to speak more forcefully and more strategically into the public square. And out of that came the American Pastors Network. And since that point, that was last July of last year, 2013, we have a chapter that's been formed in North Carolina. We have a chapter that is underway in Georgia. And then we have, obviously, then our Pennsylvania chapter mm-hmm. here. And we're talking with pastors in many states. And our hope and our prayer, as God is leading before us, is that we would have chapters of pastors in all 50 states by the middle of 2016.
Wow.
So our belief, Diane, is that pastors occupy a very, very critical position, not just in society, but in God's eyes. They hold a God-ordained position within the structure of the church that God has established, but God also established a home as we know it first, family, and he established the civil government structure second, and those in office who serve in that are ministers of God in that capacity. But the pastor in the church is the one we feel really is perhaps the most important of all of them, from the standpoint that the pastor is the one commanded to preach the word. In other words, to take the truth of God's word and speak it into the family and speak it into a civil government. That's what our founding pastors did. That's what our pastors need to do now, but many of them, unfortunately, are not. And mm-hmm. that's really where we are going. That's what the intent is to advocate for pastors, in the public square, speak truth into the public square on behalf of pastors, and to identify those individuals who believe in the authority of Scripture and encourage them and equip them to stand in the gap for truth.
So it's not just a false picture that the media is painting when it portrays pastors who, of course, the media tries to make it appear that it's the majority of pastors now believe in same-sex marriage and now believe that abortion's okay, et cetera, et cetera. But you said many of them are not preaching the truth of the gospel.
Diane, in real life, I was just on another phone call just a few minutes before talking to you here, and talking about a recent survey that George Barna's group came out with that says that over 80-some% of pastors believe that the Bible teaches and speaks to a whole long list of issues, including that of marriage and family and life and so forth, but many more than that. But yet only 10% of pastors in the pulpit will actually preach and teach it. And that is a very, very astounding number, although I found that to be true. But what you're saying is that many pastors, over majority, believe that, yes, that is God's word that contains these things, but they're afraid in many cases to speak about these issues that are controversial. But see, those are the exact times when the truth of God's word must be preached to help bring clarity in times of confusion, or when evil is attempting to run rampant over that which is good and righteous. What is the counter to that? It's the truth. And who is primarily given the task and the duty of preaching and teaching the truth? It is the pastor in the pulpit. So that's why the emphasis we believe is so strongly that's there. Our problem in America is not primarily political. It's spiritual. Whereas we do believe that, as William Penn said himself in our state, that you have to have men in office that are men and women in office of people of integrity and character, that whole thing starts of what constitutes integrity, what constitutes righteousness. That comes from God's perspective, and again, it's back to the pastor to teach what that means, and so it must come from there. And if that happens, then I think God can hear our prayers and turn around and heal our land. But if that does not happen, then we will be disciplined, I believe, as a nation even more until we look up.
Even more, because I think the discipline has already started. But I think the media and the left has been very successful in changing moral issues such as marriage and family and life, you know, life issue. They've been very successful in changing that from moral issues to political issues. And pastors get that letter from the Americans United for Separation of Church and State every year, warning them not to be involved, especially, you know, prior to an election, not to be involved in any way in politics. And I think that reinterpretation or redefinition of moral morality or moral issues has contributed to the fear in a pastor's heart to address these really moral issues because they've been politicized. So, there's definitely a need for the American Pastors Network. I'm so glad that you're out there encouraging pastors to do what has to be done, because throughout this nation's history, it's been the pastors who have led the way. And because the pastors have pulled back and not addressed the issues, we've seen the path the United States is headed down. So let's move across to the other side of the world. And just recently, the American Pastors Network participated in an international leadership summit. And when was that, and where was that? And give us a little bit of information about that. Who organized?
I'd be glad to do that. Yeah, this, Diane, was and remains a remarkable ongoing thing that in a time when our leaders in this country and the pastors we're talking about, the majority of them are not really looking to God. In fact, in an official level, almost rejecting the fact that there is a God, and that he does work in our nation, and that we need to be looking to him as our nation for our security and for our guidance. There are other countries around the world who are actually calling out to the God for his help, and such is the case in the country of Ukraine, which is obviously in the forefront of the news today. But right after between October and the last end of January of this year, folks may know that in Ukraine, in the primary capital city of Kiev in particular, there were many demonstrations, peaceful, no harm to property, no damage to buildings, but people saying, we do not want any longer a corrupt government, which was the Russian-imposed President Yanukovych that was there, that they said, this must stop. We must have leaders in government who respect the people, have fear of God, and that kind of thing. And through that, he was forced out of office. There was an interim president that came in and served for a while, who was the Speaker of Parliament. President Turchinov is his name. He happened to be a Baptist preacher believer in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So was his wife. He began to fill the interim position of president. One of our pastors, Dale Armstrong, from Lancaster County here in Pennsylvania, uh-huh. having been a missionary in Russia for a couple of years, uh-huh. Speaks Russian, and having started some churches in Ukraine, felt inclined to go during this time frame and help to provide counsel and pray with some of those who he knew there. And Diane, while he was there, he felt a call of the Lord that he needed to go and speak to the president directly.
Oh, wow.
And he and I talked, and I agreed with him, and he began to move in that direction. And God opened up doors with the top pastors in the country, which then opened up doors to a believing general in the country who shared his heart and began to break down and cry. And when they told him of our concern and our prayer for the Christians in Ukraine and for the pastors that were there, that they would step up and lead in this time of confusion, and praying that they would also have a righteous government, opened up the door to the president's office, and a five-minute meeting went to a two-and-a-half-hour meeting.
Oh, my goodness.
And the result of that was that, Diane, out of that meeting with those key people, key
mm-hmm.
pastors,
mm-hmm.
and key military guys, and key top legislative or president at that point, afforded an ask that we in the American Pastors Network, they say, knowing that you have a concern for us, you're here,
mm-hmm.
you're praying for us, we believe you. And the concept that really got them, Diane, was what we've been trying to put forth, the concept of ministers together, meaning that those in the pulpit as ministers of God and those in government, as Romans 13 calls them, ministers of God,
mm-hmm.
should have a relationship with each other that is biblical, not political, understanding that they all serve under God. And when
right.
we laid that out, they said, would you please come to the Ukraine and put together a summit? And in their words, gave us an official invitation, but which included the comment, come and teach us the biblical principles necessary to establish a righteous government free of corruption and bribery. And they said, perhaps God will hear the prayers of his people here in Ukraine and around the world and ask you to come. So they afforded us that invitation. We went and we held that summit at the end of June.
Mm-hmm.
I asked a few other pastors to go with some specific topics. I asked David Barton. From Wall
good,
Builders,
good.
Who went with me,
good.
And we laid out the agenda. We had 2 days of summit and presentation, 85 pastors representing 10,000 evangelical churches in Ukraine, and 15 members of either parliament or top-level positions of government were there for the 2 days. And God touched their hearts. And after the conclusion of that, Diane, they put together, those leaders put together a 14-point resolution, kind of like the signers of the Declaration of Independence,
mm-hmm.
and directed it to the now current president, Poroshenko, and which they said, please and take and incorporate these Christian and biblical principles. They were talked about life. They talked about personal property. They talked about religious freedom, a number of things that were very reflective of our Constitution.
Oh, yeah.
They said, would you take and put these into
mm-hmm.
a new Constitution? The president's response to them was to appoint that lead pastor as chairman of a committee that he formed out of his office called the Spiritual Restoration Committee. And our folks are back there now in Ukraine working on putting together a constitutional summit by their request to help train the members of parliament with the goal of putting together a new constitution that is based on biblical principles. Now, isn't that an amazing thing, Diane?
That is an understatement. My goodness. So they are looking at the United States founding documents and the Christian principles upon which the United States was founded as the best way for their new government to operate, for the new government to be established and for the new government to operate. So they're reaching out to American pastors who were instrumental back in the 1700s and prior to and even after that for several decades in forming the government and in taking part in the government. That is fantastic. And the fact that God had put that Lancaster County pastor in place where he had already been as a missionary to Russia for several years. So he had the language, he knew the language, and so God had begun putting the pieces and the people in place years ago for this summit that took place. is amazing.
Yep, it is. It is amazing. And the thing I want to state to just help folks who are listening to be greatly encouraged is that, you know, God, and what I taught them, we taught them over there, is that God works with nations. He works with individuals, but he works with nations. He raises up nations and he puts them down. He raises up leaders and he puts them down. A nation that is righteous, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Right. We're told that. When the evil bear rule, the people mourn. There's a clear and direct relationship between how a nation and its leaders respond to God and how, if they obey, God blesses. If they reject, then God judges. And in our nation, we're a nation that once knew the blessings of God. We experienced the divine miracles at the very beginning that put us to the point where we should have never been from a human perspective. God's doing, and not all that many years ago, our Congress came back and said our motto should be, "In God we trust."
Yep.
But we don't trust in God as a nation now, and we have folks in office who are running, it seems, as fast from God as they can, undermining the Constitution, the rule of law, and there are penalties for that. So we here in America are experiencing God's judgment because we've turned our back on him. But there are countries like Ukraine and a couple in Africa that have also reached out to us with the same request of Ukraine. Come and teach us that God is raising them up. And for those who look, and this is an important principle, God is at work around this world. God is not dead. He is very much active, and he is working with nations and leaders just the way he's always worked from the beginning of time. If they say, "We need your help, and we're willing to follow your commands as our early founders did," then God said, "Then I will give you blessing."
Yeah.
And these are things that you can expect. And so that is happening, and we must be encouraged about that, but even more prayerful for our nation that at this point is walking away, and people, I think, are believing and trusting in other things rather than God. And in fact, "In God we trust" is really not our actual, practical, real-life motto. It's our official motto, but I can't say that we as a nation at this point are trusting in God. We need to.
Yeah, and it's just become a political statement. Or when a politician says, "God bless America," those are just empty words because they don't mean that. It's just something that they do. Increasingly, I think as Christian Americans, we need to be very careful when we go to the polls to vote. And be very careful in who we vote for. Make sure that we go as an educated voter and get the people in there who will represent our values. I think that's one thing. You know, Christians have stayed away from the polls in too many cases because there's no one on the ballot who represents their values. Then we need to get people out there who do. Christians need to decide to run for office. I think if pastors are in the pulpit who are preaching the biblical truth about these politicized moral issues, that will help the chances of the U.S. getting back on course. But we have to follow 2 Chronicles 7:14 and go through those steps, and then God will heal our land. It is definitely encouraging that other nations are seeing value of our American Constitution and the very real presence of God in the forming of that Constitution, in the beliefs of the founding fathers.
Absolutely. Yep.
It can get very frustrating to, and I know you know this too, very frustrating to see just empty words coming from politicians' mouths when it comes to the issue of God. And they just say things that they think that their constituents, that the voters want to hear, but they don't really mean them. Like you said, the country as a whole is running away from God because we've allowed moral relativism to become the primary quote-unquote religion of the nation. So it's troubling. So, but as you're saying, it's encouraging that other nations are seeing the importance of our founding documents. And it's great that David Barton got to go and such as that. So he's the best person out there to talk about founding documents for sure. Wow. So, and African nations also are expressing interest. You said,
we're having discussions with three nations in Africa that have, again, reached out to us. We haven't gone to them, but recognizing what is being done, and I've shared certain things in Ukraine that's happening there that have encouraged some of these nations as well, but all with the same kind of a scenario, countries that have never had the kind of freedom that we've experienced, countries that have seen oppression and persecution and death and poverty, nations that look and say, "We want what America had." And they know, the pastors know, that that comes because of being a righteous government, but they're looking, they're saying, "But we're not quite sure how to get there." You know, how do you actually take a biblical principle and actually translate that into civil government and laws? that are reflective. That's a big process. Our founders, folks don't understand, that our founders were brilliant people knew history, and they knew their Bible very, very well, led again by pastors in the pulpits who were teaching them things, but they prepared the way for what came forth as our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, which outside the Bible are probably the two most influential documents perhaps in nearly the history of the world. And others look and say, how did they get that? We want what's there. Come and teach us. Well, if someone says, come and teach, show us, well, the door's open and we feel that we need to follow. And so that's kind of the track that we're on that part of the extension of the American Pastors Network.
Wow. So you're going to change your name?
No, that's going to be a function of the American Pastors. So we call it the American Pastors Network Ukrainian Initiative. And we'll use the African country's name for the same kind of thing, but it's an extension of the American Pastors Network. Those folks in those countries, they're honored to have a set of American pastors, historians, come and teach them.
And that's a good thing.
So we're not changing it to international. It's going to be American Pastors Network with an initiative in Africa or initiative in Europe.
They're hungering for the knowledge of how this American experiment has worked thus far, and how this American experiment, and that's what the founders called it. They called it an experiment because it had never been done before in the history of the world, what they did with self-government. So that is really, it's really neat that foreign leaders are recognizing the importance of God in creating a new nation, praying that our leaders will be reminded of God's role in the founding of this nation. How can people help the American, or what can we do as, you know, not members of the American Pastors Network, or the things that we can do beyond praying for the American Pastors Network?
Well, absolutely, yes, Diane. A couple of things. One, if people are listening, they can go to their pastors and see if their pastors are, in fact, a part of the network and receiving our updates and materials, that kind of a thing, both here in Pennsylvania, because there's a Pennsylvania Pastors Network, of which pastors need to be part in Pennsylvania, but if they join in Pennsylvania, they're a part of the American Pastors Network.
Oh, okay.
But do that. That's one thing. Check with your pastor. Encourage them to be a part if they're not, number one. Number two, if the folks who are listening right now to the program, even though they're not pastors, they also can go to our website and sign up, understand where we're going, be able to pray more intelligently for what's happening. And then thirdly, they can help financially. The things that we're talking about here are, like every ministry, require the assistance of God's people and others to come alongside. So we do pray regularly for financial partners where God has touched their hearts. That also can be done online and partake of the American Pastors Network website. We have a library of over 900 different materials, all categorized according to category, topics that are biblically worldview consistent, in order to help folks and pastors in the preparation of sermons or people otherwise teaching or understanding how to argue biblical worldview in economics or education or, you know, any number of areas. Go there, take advantage. It's the largest library of its type that we know in the country. So there are a number of things that people can do by going to that site, getting regular updates and taking advantage of that.
And you said over 900 resources there on the website, about 900.
That's correct. Over 900 different sources. And I think we take everything, you know, from topics of creation versus evolution, and marriage and life and abortion, and as well as a whole range of other topics, environment, all that kind of thing, and have the best of those that are out there, a whole wide range of selection of items. Some things can be bought, some things can be viewed online, DVDs, material, that kind of thing. Take advantage of that. It's really, a lot of people are utilizing that more and more in the preparation, helping to understand what's going on and articulate a biblical worldview into our very, very postmodern culture. All of those things are there that anybody can take advantage of.
Okay, and that's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Network.net. Okay. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Okay, okay. Wow, that is fantastic to have all those resources under one umbrella, so to speak. Wow. And can folks contact you at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net? There's email there that they can contact the network through?
Yes, in fact, they can. They can see that. They can also go on there. We have radio programs. We have a Stand in the Gap radio program on 7 stations in Pennsylvania. It's a weekend hour program that we put on there that features a pastor preaching into the culture with a narrative at the end, where I and another pastor then talk about the application of that sermon. And then I do a minute program daily, Stand in the Gap Minute, that's on over 40-some stations in Pennsylvania. And we also put that on there. in addition to blog updates and so forth on issues, and a lot of things that are there currently regularly updated that we would invite people to look, be informed, communicate to us, contact us in any way they want.
Well, fantastic. So I encourage folks to go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and check with your pastor and see if they are part of this network. And you said individuals can also sign up for email alerts at the website.
Absolutely.
Okay. I encourage folks to do that. Again, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And Sam, I appreciate the time you've taken to be with us to explain this exciting news where you're having not only a national impact, but an international impact. And again, the Lord's hands evident in this as international leaders are seeking to know how to best form government based upon godly principles. That's fantastic. Okay, you take care.
All right, thank you. Good to be with you, Diane.
Okay. Hey, you take care then.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.